For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, and to Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever.
ヘブル人への手紙7章の1節から3節。このメルキゼデクはサレムの王で優れて高い神の祭司でしたが、アブラハムが王たちを打ち破って帰るのを出迎えて祝福しました。またアブラハムは彼にすべての戦利品の10分の1を分けました。まず彼はその名を訳すと義の王であり、次にサレムの王、すなわち平和の王です。父もなく母もなく系図もなく、その生涯の始めもなく命の終わりもなく、神の子に似たものとされ、いつまでも祭司としてとどまっているのです。
Good morning. Check, check. Sounds good. It's good to see all of you. You guys enjoying the weather? It's pretty nice, considering it's Tucson. Praise God for the weather. I thoroughly enjoyed what Phil did this morning, and if you guys weren't here for that, Phil invited us for a time of personal prayer for our opening call of worship. And I want you to know that's actually pretty unique, that we as Christians can go straight to the Father with our prayers. Prior to Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, things like forgiveness of sins, you could certainly do that with the Father in private, but you also had to go through a lot of formalities. Temple worship, you'd have to go to the temple, and for peace offering, fellowship offering, there were certain things you needed to offer to the priest, whether it was grain, whether it was a dove, whether it was a goat, a sheep, whatever it was, depending on the sin, depending on what you wanted forgiveness for. You couldn't just go to your room and say, "Forgive me, Father," in the temple days, the time of the first and second temple. We live in a unique time. We live in a time where we could go straight to the Father with our prayers. And it's because of what Jesus Christ did. Today we're going to continue on in the book of Hebrews. And there's an interesting figure that's mentioned, that's brought up for a chapter. The writer of Hebrews talks about this man named Melchizedek. How many of you are familiar with Melchizedek? Not many of us. And honestly, you could go all through your Christian life and not ever study, hear, know about this Melchizedek, and I think you'll be perfectly fine. I think you could walk through your Christian life without knowing a Melchizedek and who he was, what he did, and you will be perfectly fine. So you're wondering, then why are you going to spend a Sunday to talk about Melchizedek, Pastor Aki? It was in the book. God put it in the book. If you don't like the message, take it up with God. He put it in the book. Just following the book. The Bible. Now most of us are not familiar with the value of a priest, what a priest does, who a priest is, because we don't necessarily go to priests. I'm not a priest. Well, technically we're all priests. I'm a pastor. So you could bring your problems to me and I could pray for you, but I don't serve necessarily as a priest. I serve simply as a pastor. But go ahead and send your offering to me as well, as if you want, you could do that. But I'm not your mediator. That's what I'm saying. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad I'm not your mediator? So a priest is a mediator. He goes between you and God. A priest is a mediator that goes between you and God, and we don't necessarily have that of needing a mediator, but we all have used or know of someone who used a mediator, right? So for example, a realtor would be a mediator. A realtor. So if you're ever in the housing business, or if you're ever selling or buying a house, you probably need a realtor. And you probably want a good realtor, right? A realtor that's for you, whether you're buying or selling. You don't want some corrupt realtor that's in it for himself or themselves. Or for example, maybe I look out and I see a lot of athletes in here. So maybe one day you're going to need a sports agent. So a sports agent is like a mediator, you know, and he's in it to try to get you as much money as possible, the shortest time possible, because an athlete's profession isn't that long. So you want a good agent. You don't want an agent where he's in it for himself and is trying to rip you off. You hear all these stories. I believe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had a corrupt agent who stole most of his money, if not all of his money. I don't know if you knew that. Another example is a lawyer. God forbid you ever need a lawyer, but if you're ever in trouble, it's a good idea to get a mediator between the judge and yourself through a lawyer. Anyone need a lawyer before? Need a good lawyer? I actually needed a good lawyer. I don't know if you knew that. I wasn't always a Christian. No, just kidding. This was even after I became a Christian. I needed a lawyer because I was out of the state for over a year. I was in Japan for over a year. I'm here on a green card, and my green card status was in jeopardy because if you're overseas over 6 months, there's a presumption that you've abandoned your green card. I had no intention of abandoning my green card. When I came in, they said, hey, you're going to need to see a judge. And so I needed to get a lawyer, and I need to get a good lawyer. Thank God the church I was with, they supported me, and they said, well, we'll help you find a lawyer. So we'll pay the bill, just go find yourself a lawyer. And I was recommended, I believe, three lawyers. It's like the three bears. The first one I went to that I remember, I actually remember only two. The first one I remember going to was an Asian guy. He was a Japanese last name. Please forgive me, but I was judging the book by the cover. He was your typical, like, slick lawyer. He actually had his hair slicked back, and he was, he looked like he could represent a lot of criminals. I was not a criminal. And he said, you know what? If you don't get off, you don't have to pay me. And he winked at me. And I said, oh, maybe this guy is not for me. And I go to another lawyer, and this lawyer, he was, you know, your typical older guy, messy table, like papers everywhere. He has like pictures of kids drawing saying thank you for like stuff like that. And I said, oh, this guy is the type of guy that I would like representing me. So I picked that guy, and I'm still here, so look at that. But, you know, you need a good lawyer. You don't want a lawyer that looks good, but isn't worth a lick, you know? I've lived long enough to see that I shouldn't have judged the man by his cover, but because I've seen good people look bad and bad people be good. So, anyways, we're here with Jesus as the high priest, a mediator in the order of Melchizedek. Now, there are two priestly orders, it seems like. There's the order of Melchizedek, and then there's the order of the Levitical priesthood. Some say the Levitical priesthood, which is through the line of Aaron was a Levite, was more of God saying to Moses, okay, you don't want the job, I'll give it to your brother. Because when God comes to Moses and tells Moses, hey, I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt, and I want you to bring them into the promised land, which I promised and prophesied to your forefather Abraham. And Moses, when he gets the call, do you remember what happens? He didn't say, here am I, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, whatever it takes. He said, no, 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 Lord. I'm a man that stutters. They're not going to listen to me. I can't do this. God actually gets a little angry at Moses. And then Moses finally says, consents and concedes and says, okay, you tell Aaron to say all of these things then. A couple of years later, Aaron becomes the high priest. And it's through the line of Aaron that there's a Levitical priesthood. And I believe that was a consolation rather than God's original intent. But with the Levitical priesthood, there's a lot of problems. Now, I said earlier, what if you had a bad mediator? You know, a bad lawyer, a bad realtor, a bad agent. Imagine if you had a bad priest. What would happen then? One of the first evil priests that's mentioned in the Bible, you find that in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it's the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli, they knew they had a lot of power, and they took advantage of that. They took advantage of it in every way possible. They would take the offering, and what was meant for the Lord, they would keep for themselves. Now imagine having that as your mediator. Probably not confident your prayers would reach God, and if it did, not heard. These were the mediators, the sons of Eli. And during their reign, the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. One of the most known enemies of Israel of that time, the Philistines. And so God, I believe, and in that story, there's a prophecy that there will be another priesthood. There will be another priesthood. And I believe that priesthood is the priesthood of Melchizedek. Now let's look at today's scripture passage. It's in Hebrews chapter 7, 1 through 3. If you don't have your Bibles, it's also in the back of your program. Let me read. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham appointed a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. Who is this Melchizedek? And why does the writer of Hebrews devote an entire chapter on him when very little is actually said about him in the Old Testament? There's two places where he's mentioned. The first place he's mentioned is, as this story says, in Genesis 14, he meets Abraham. After Abraham goes and rescues his son Lot, there's a man named Melchizedek that Abraham meets. And in this meeting, Melchizedek blesses him. Abraham gives him a tenth. Now, Abraham, I just want to give you a timeline, is before the Levitical priesthood. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then there's the time of Moses. And during the time of Moses, the Levitical priesthood is installed. And after that, there's a guy named King David. And King David in the Psalms, Psalms 110, also mentions Melchizedek. That there will be a righteous priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now there are different speculation who he was, who he is. Some think he was Jesus. Some think Melchizedek was Jesus, who made an appearance before his incarnation. The technical term for that is called a theophany. And some people think that was Jesus who made an appearance. And Jesus several times in the Old Testament would make an appearance, a handful of times. And during those times, he would be labeled the angel of the Lord. Angel, simply a designator of what he's doing and not who he is. So angel is more like saying mailman rather than human being. So the mailman of the Lord, that would be Jesus Christ. Whenever you see angel of the Lord, usually is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's a theophany. Or the Lord of hosts, that's another name for Jesus. There are different, there are different speculation of who he was. Some think he was Jesus. Some think perhaps he was the son of Shem. Or the son of Noah, Shem. It's interesting, Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem is blessed by Noah. And Shem lives a very long time. And he lives during the time of Abraham. And some think this was Shem, that is to say, Melchizedek is simply a title, not a name. It's not a name, it's a title. Others believe maybe this Melchizedek was a divine being. However, some say, well, that's foolish if he's a divine being because, you know, as a human, you need another human as a mediator to God. So perhaps he's a divine being, perhaps in that. What we can safely say is, it's possible that Melchizedek was just a man of God who walked with God, who God chose as someone who walked with God, and that's why God chose him, unrelated to Abraham. And so there's no genealogical record of him. Those are all just speculation, while what we know about Melchizedek, so these are the things we know about him. One, he was a king from a place called Salem. Salem in Hebrew is peace, shalom. A place called Shalom. He was a king from a place called Shalom. The name Melchizedek, again, is most likely a title rather than his personal name. And the title is two words put together. Melchi is king and Zedek is righteousness. So he was the king of righteousness. Three, there's no record of where he's from or who he's from. And that's, you know, important in the Old Testament to have a genealogical record, especially in the priesthood. In the priesthood, if you didn't have a genealogical record, you could not function as a priest. There were some that lost their record of who they're a son of, and they were disqualified from being a priest. So this Melchizedek actually has no genealogical record, but he was still a priest. It did not affect his priesthood or the continuance of his priesthood. Four, he is the first kingly priest introduced in the Bible. In the Bible, you were either prophet, king, priest, or one of these things. You weren't ever both of them. You weren't a king priest. He was the first kingly priest, a royal priesthood. Does that ring a bell? A royal priesthood. I ask, does that ring a bell? Because we, as Christians, Peter calls you a royal priesthood. You are all royal priesthood. Did you know that? You don't have to believe it, but you are it. You don't have to believe it, but that's who you are. That's what God calls you. Five, he also blessed Abraham, and then in that culture, the greater always blesses the lesser. And so he was greater than the patriarch Abraham. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. And if you continue to read on Hebrews 7, it talks about because he blessed Abraham and because Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything, it's sort of like everybody in the line of Abraham, including the Levite priest, gave a tenth to Melchizedek. That's how great Melchizedek was. He was the priest of priests. Because priests, they don't give tenth. They don't give a tithe. They receive tithe. But Melchizedek received a tithe from those who actually receive tithe. Did I say tithe and receive too many times? Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Anyways. Sixth, he was and is a prototype. He is a prototype to the real thing, which is Jesus Christ. He was a prototype. He was a type of Christ. In context, the reason why the writer of Hebrew brings up Melchizedek is because the Hebrew audience who this book is meant for is saying, Jesus is a high priest? Really? How is he supposed to be a high priest? He's not even a Levite. He doesn't come from the line of Aaron. There's no way that Jesus could serve as a high priest. And the writer of Hebrew is saying, no, no, he's not from the line of Levi. Exactly. He's not here to fulfill the Aaronic priesthood. He's not here to maintain the old covenant. The reason why Jesus isn't from Levi and isn't from the line of Aaron is because he is here to establish a new covenant. He is here to establish a new covenant. The old covenant had to do with a lot with regulation, rules, and laws. It was a legalistic system. And it was a corrupt legal system. Even if they were good priests, it was a corrupt system. Because even the best of priests were imperfect. Even the best intentioned priests, they were imperfect. And then there were the bad apples. You know, there were the ones like the sons of Eli that had no intentions of being good. But because they were born the firstborn, or because they were, you know, the son of the other priest, they became priests. They didn't earn it. It wasn't because of merit. Sometimes it was because a corrupt leader would put them in the position of being a priest. Jesus had no intention of continuing that priesthood. He had no intention of continuing the old covenant. The reason why Jesus doesn't fulfill the Levitical Aaronic priesthood is because he is from the line, the order of Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek was a priest from a place called peace, and he was a righteous king. There's no genealogy, which is to say he was probably chosen by grace. Aren't you glad that he is aligned in the order of Melchizedek, chosen by grace? You know what that says about us? It doesn't matter what our genealogy is. It doesn't matter what our family tree looks like. Some of us, we have good family trees. I don't know, some of us, we come from really good family trees. Are there any Rockefellers in the house? No, just kidding. You don't have to be a Rockefeller. You don't have to be one of these powerful families to be blessed. To be blessed, all you need is God choosing you. And if you're here today worshiping God, guess what? God has chosen you. Not because of how great your family was. He chose you by grace. This new covenant that Jesus is here to establish is far greater than the old covenant was. And because it's far greater, we all who are under the new covenant benefit from that. Jesus is superior than the Levitical priesthood, which was limited in every way imaginable, and we can be confident in Jesus' ability to minister to us, for us, and on behalf of us. So here, when we go and we pray, the mediator we have isn't some young man like me, myself. No one's going to laugh, but I'm supposed to be a Jew. Some young, inexperienced person like me. When we pray, our prayer goes straight through Jesus Christ, the perfect mediator, perfect in any way, under a new covenant, and your prayers go straight to the Father. Every prayer you pray goes straight to the Father. If you're under the new covenant, every prayer you pray, God hears. Because you could be confident Jesus isn't going to fumble your prayer request. Some priests, they may say, oh yeah, okay, this is what you need, and they'll do stuff, and they might get it wrong. And it might go to the Father, it might not go to the Father. But you could be confident when you pray that Jesus, perfect priest, your prayers will go perfectly to the Father. And the Father, when he hears a prayer request from Jesus, is delighted. He's like, Jesus, I'm so happy to hear from you. What do you have? Here are some of the prayers I have for you. But did you know that under the new covenant, that it is not just Jesus who prays and intercedes on behalf of you, which he does, but did you know that under the new covenant, you and I are considered child of God? A child of God. Now, there was a child that just ran across the back of the room to help illustrate this. And let me just say, I'm sure the parents sometimes may get embarrassed about their child, but let me tell you, they don't need to apologize for their child one bit. Their child could go to their father or mother whenever they want. And as a child of God, you can go to the Father whenever you want. That's the new covenant. That is the covenant we're under. No longer do we need priests, or are indebted to priests, or do we have to go through a priest. But under the new covenant, you yourselves become children of God, children whom the Father delights in. I don't have kids, so I don't know what that's like. I do have a dog that serves like my little kid. And let me tell you, the dog gets just about anything it wants from me, you know. And I'm an evil person compared to God. And God, so when he sees you as his child, guess what? He's all yours. Just as the new covenant is greater in every way imaginable than the old covenant, so is this new way of relating to God so much better. The Levitical priesthood was limited in what it could do. Under the new priesthood of Jesus Christ, what can happen is unlimited in every way imaginable. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing is impossible when God is with you. Nothing. And as incredible as it is that Jesus is our royal priest, high priest in the order of Melchizedek, Jesus not only fulfills this role, but he is also called a forerunner of this ministry. Meaning, a forerunner, a first fruit, is that he in some way will expect you and I to mimic the ministry he has in some way. See, when Jesus calls you a disciple and calls you to follow him, he's not just saying, here's a free ticket to heaven. Go and do whatever you want. And when you die, you get to go to heaven. No, Jesus isn't giving you a golden ticket into heaven. When Jesus says, come follow me, he's saying, here is who I am. I'm a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Here's your invitation, if you ever want to become like me, to follow me. And just as Jesus fulfills the order of Melchizedek as a royal priesthood, you and I, we are called to that same calling. A royal priesthood. Our heavenly calling is more than just living a good moral life here on earth and then going to heaven. Rather, it's a calling to follow in the footsteps of Jesus to represent the King of righteousness and the kingdom of peace here on earth. And oh, how bad we need that today. How bad do we need a representative from the kingdom of peace? How bad do we need representative that would represent righteousness the right way? That is what you are called to. That's what I'm called to. That's what we're called to. And finally, I believe the writer of Hebrews talks about Melchizedek. And Jesus fulfilling that prototype is so that you and I, we could be confident. We could be confident whenever we go to the Father that He would hear our prayers. We could be confident of that. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray for the local body here. Those who are ill, pray for Sandy. We pray, Father, that you would be with her, comfort her. Pray for Kenji. Pray for Vitellio, who's going through sickness as well. We just pray, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We pray for Tom's brother who had an accident. He needs your presence. We pray, Father, for all of those here today who needs a touch, who needs to hear your voice, who needs a real encounter with you. God, I pray that you would come and meet us. Father, I also pray for the people in Syria. We pray, Jesus, that you would be with them. Your peace would be with them. Father, may your church begin to represent righteousness. That we would be a kingdom of peace and of righteousness, Lord. That you would be glorified within your body through your people. We're so thankful and grateful, Lord, that after this service, a lot of us, we don't have a lot to worry about in the bigger scheme of things. We do pray, Father, for those of us who are struggling, who are found in just a hard time in our life, that you would bring hope. Hope that you hear our prayers, Lord, and you know what you're doing with our lives, and that we could trust our lives in your hands, and that you would make all things good for those who love you. Every situation, Lord, will turn out to be for the good of those who love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.